Well, if you want the noises to stop, you gotta... It wants you to dance with me.
Well, I don't know if I should dance.
Listen, the furnace is sentient, and it wants you to dance with me, okay?
The furnace is alive?
If you want it to shut up, you gotta dance with me. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Good, good, awesome. Now, the furnace wants you to kiss me.
Oh, well. If you think that'll help the furnace, I guess I could give you a little peck on the cheek.
No, 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 no. Open mouth and talk. The furnace says so.
Well, oh, my word. Film review.
That was good,
baby. Ooh, baby. I don't know what's happening.
You're getting off. You started good, but you ended rough.
Bad.
Kind of like last week's episode. Boom.
Boom. Wooloo. Call back.
Yeah.
Catching that Wooloo. Dan, you can't hate me because Wooloo is too much fun to say, all right?
It is. It's so funny.
Fuck. I love the Wooloo. Gotta get that Wooloo. Anyways, that's Dan. I'm Jared. This is the Indie Film Review. We cover independent films here. Who would have thought?
This is part two of our Amazon Prime All Choices, All Voices All Film Festival.
The All Voices Film Festival featuring short films that have been submitted to the festival.
By
and you. Can go and watch them. So I encourage everyone to go, if you have Amazon Prime or whatever it is, Prime Video, to go and watch them. I also encourage you to tell Amazon Prime that we're doing this so we can become official sponsors of Amazon and make $1 billion.
Wait, we're going to sponsor Amazon with our money?
Oh, no, I meant the other way. The not stupid way. What's the not dumb way of saying that?
Amazon will sponsor us.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. What Dan said. Anyways, hey, we're going to get into some movies. We got a lot to cover. I'm very excited. These are my picks. Dan already hates them all. He told me off air. He said, everything you do is a fucking waste of time. So let's get into it.
I just got lucky with my picks is all. The first film is called Life on Earth by Nadia Marcella. I hope you're saying your name right.
Is the life on earth?
Yeah, that's what
really
I thought
of too. Singy episode.
Yeah. Sing-songy.
I apologize for singing so much. I'm just very excited.
So, Jared, if you were to tell me what life on Earth is about, what would you tell me?
Life on Earth. I would say it's a man took Ken and Barbie dolls, and he turned them into aliens, and then he filmed them, and then he talks about how he has anxiety and dick problems. But now he's going to fuck
okay,
a lot of ladies.
You're kind of right. Life on Earth is all about fucking, obviously. Because, okay, whenever you think of the name A Life on Earth and then you see the cover with an alien on it, you're going to be like, oh, this alien is going to try to experience the human race and the human, what we have to deal with on a daily basis. But what we have to deal with on a daily basis is obviously fucking, because that's all this film is about.
Yeah, baby. So what'd you think of this movie?
Not relatable to me at all. It was a hard sell for me. I liked the models, though. The models were very cool.
Yes, I thought the creator of this film, very creative. I mean, these models of all the different characters he made these dolls, you know, that he filmed, and he put them in, it's interesting, he puts them in realistic things. Like, it shows, like, the aliens, like, sitting on a fridge or, like, in the fridge eating, and lots of gratuitous scenes of these dolls fucking, which is just weird, thinking that, like, he had to film this, you know, and, like, it's like, I'm gonna film my dolls fucking now. It's very creative. Okay, I'll say that, right? Because when I was going to start up this movie, I thought it was going to be a man dressed as an alien walking around, you know, experiencing life as an alien. But no, it's this really cool, like pseudo-realistic thing that he's doing, and I'm into that. The thing I'm not into is the story. Like, I don't care about this guy's plight of him, like, wanting to fuck a million alien women and his weird anxiety thing and his dick pills.
So everything but the story is basically
great. That's really it. I mean, I couldn't relate or feel empathy for anything that was going on during the story. There's potential here, but I don't know. It just didn't work for me.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
Next movie on Next the movie. Chopping block is another film with life in the title. Life Sentence.
Life Sentence, baby.
By Tyler Eaton. And this is a movie about a son whose mother just gets out of jail.
Yes.
And forces her way into his life.
I really like the premise of this movie.
Yes.
I like the idea of like a fish out of water type of scenario where the mom has been gone for 10 years. She hasn't seen the outside world for 10 years. She has no idea what's going on. They could have played more on that, of her like not understanding how technology and everything. I mean, I know it's only been 10 years, but you're going to feel weird. Things are going to be weird. I love the mom character. I thought she was great. I love the acting.
Yeah.
I loved some of the jokes were pretty great. They worked for me. She's basically living with her son and she's on parole. So,
and she has to go get revenge for her dead husband.
Huh? Explain. I'm very confused.
Well, you see, the villain of this movie, like, he has imprisoned this woman for 10 years. Uh-huh. And her son has grown up in those 10 years and she doesn't recognize him and they fuck, right?
Yeah, and they. Dan, I think you're thinking of Old Boy. you freaked me out so bad because I'm like, did I watch the wrong movie? I'm like, what the fuck is going on? But Dan is on a different level, all right? And that's the kind of...
I'm making jokes.
Yeah, that's the kind of grade A commitment that you will come to expect with listening to the Indie Film Review. Thank you. I rest my case. Your Honor!
I don't know why anybody... if you want your film reviewed, please come to us. We will fart on
That's
it.
That's right. But with love. But anyways, I like this movie. What did you think of it?
To me, the comedy did not really land too much.
Okay.
But like you said, I do like the premise a lot.
Other than that, I thought the pot brownie gag or whatever they were doing, because the whole conflict is... the son's friend accidentally left some drug or whatever in the apartment while an inspection's going to be happening for the mom. So they have to go back there and get it before the inspector finds it. So, like, the son basically eats the entire cookie or whatever it is to cover up the fact that it was something bad. And then he turns to his mom and is like, so I'm probably not going to have to go to... I'm not going to be able to go to work, right? And he's like, no, you're not going to go anywhere. So they just stay at home. But yeah, it was cute.
Yeah.
But best thing I'd say is I really like the acting, especially from the mom. I thought she was...
Yeah, the acting is very serviceful.
Yeah,
I agree.
For sure.
Next film we have on our list is Save Yourself by Ali Al-Kafaji.
This
Jared.
Yeah.
This is probably my favorite of your picks.
Yes, dude.
I don't know why, because I can't say that I liked it. But I liked it. It's weird.
Try to explain what this movie is.
I'll try, for sure. So, apparently, there's a pizzard on the loose.
Pizzard! Now that's the new... So we had Wooloo last episode. Pizzard is the new Wooloo, dude. Let's go.
Okay, so... if you guys need to know what a pizzard is... watch this film, because a pizzard is a pig with a lizard.
Yes. Just that is they also a man?
Now.
Don't jump the gun.
So basically, this thing is terrorizing a town. Mm-hmm. They keep having press conferences about it, and that's all you need to know. It opens with this kind of dude and this girl walking.
Classic. Nerd and with hot chick walking down a path.
Yeah, and you can tell that he's friend-zoned and he's trying to get in there, basically. And the nerd is attacked by this thing that you see, and you're like, what the fuck is this? And you're like, I'm intrigued, please.
Dan, we know what it is. It's a pizzard, okay?
It's a pizzard. Anyway, during the next press conference about the events that have just transpired,
yes,
it made me laugh because the exact line of dialogue is, according to Milton's hot best friend...
like, it's like local nerd gets killed in woods.
Yeah.
So this movie is hilarious. It's so funny.
Yes.
I loved it.
It is.
Again, there's no issues with this film, really, that I could think of. I loved how absurd it was. It's so stupid. This movie is dumb. but I like that. I like how dumb it is.
See, that's what I'm having trouble with. It's like, I liked it, but I didn't like it. Like, I was expecting a lot, but then yeah. I was served a whole dish of absurd, which I was not expecting. But I'm
this
like,
movie
okay.
is like a parody of a plot. So, it, like, it has all the steps of, like, what a plot would do and, like, character growth and development. Because the main character is afraid of cats and afraid of, like, commitment and whatever, whatever, in relationships. And the reason he is because he caught his mom doing BDSM.
Like, if that one scene from The Shining, you know that one scene from The Shining?
Yes.
They redo it here with BDSM and a guy in a cat mask. And the guy in the cat mask looks at him.
Yeah. And the guy cleans houses for a living. And so he's so traumatized by that that he's afraid of cats and of commitment, as I said. And so his big character arc is at the end, he's not afraid of cats anymore. And he's willing to put himself out there and find a relationship. But like, that's only there, I think, to parody and make fun of that being in films.
Mm.
Like, that's what this whole movie feels like. It's got the big twists. It's got the double twists. But they're all so dumb that it's hilarious. And like, that's what the movie is. It's not taking itself seriously. I like that about it.
And the practical effects for a pizzard.
Great.
Like, okay, we thought the Wooloo was great, right?
Oh, yeah.
But next move level. Over Wooloo, the pizzard.
There's a new
takes
sheriff
the
in
king.
Town. Yes. That's right.
Pizzard. Fucking ridiculous.
That's pizzard. Pizzard, the redneck werewolf. I don't know why I thought of that.
Speaking of songs, the song that the guy plays, so basically everything at the end goes back to normal. Well, do you want to talk about the end?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I'm talking about the end before the end. Then you go. You talk about the climax.
So, climax is they finally decide they're going to go kill the pizzard, right?
Yeah.
Just randomly. So he brings a cat with him because he's not afraid of cats anymore, and they have he has a spray bottle and a cat. And they show up, and the mayor is there. And the whole short film, the mayor's been looking for his, like, egg burrito or something silly. Mm-hmm. And he finally has his egg burrito. And he's like, I manufactured this pizzard out of a human man so I could decrease the population of this town because it's easier to run a town when there's less people. And he's like, why don't you just quit your job? And he's like, you're just like my wife. He's like, you just don't understand. It was funny. The nerd from the beginning of the film shows up and he's like, wait, you can't kill the pizzard. The pizzard's my daddy. And then the pizzard attacks him and kills him. And
the pizzard turns out to be his dad.
Yes, it does. And the main character stands up to the pizzard and he sprays him with a water bottle, which I thought was funny. They do a callback of that at the end too, when he sprays the girl. But it turns out they defeat the pizzard. Well, actually the mayor just changes him back.
Yeah.
They don't even defeat the pizzard. And there's a great line where the pizzard, now a man, is like, I can't believe I killed my son. And then they say the name of the son and he's like, oh, well, I guess that's sad too. He's like, no, not your older son. It's this son. He's like, oh, well, all right. So now do you want to talk about the ending or?
Yes. There's a little song that the now remedied main character sings to his love interest. It basically recounts the plots of the
film. Yeah,
the film.
It's really good.
Just I think you can watch it just for that, but also watch it. Come for the pizzard, stay for the end.
Yes,
basically,
that's
right. How I'm gonna phrase
the ending is solid. It's just really funny. And like, there's a lot of great scenes where they're rooting around in the swamps looking for the pizzard. One of the characters is like, according to the Jeepus, I think we're pretty close to the cabin or whatever. He's like, what? Don't you mean GPS? And he's like, hey man, don't give me shit. And he's like, starts pointing out all the weird things that are going on. He's like, I'm drunk. Okay. I liked how self-aware they were. It made the jokes funnier.
Yeah.
Very absurd. I loved it. Okay, let's move on. Ghoul Station is the next movie.
Ghoul Station by the Sorayas. So, my first question, and this is going to be a question that comes up again later in the podcast.
Okay.
Is this going to be like Warehouse? Because basically it's about a gas station that is possessed by a ghost.
A ghosty ghost. Now, when you think of a ghoul, do you think of a ghost?
Whenever I think of a ghoul, I think of...
I think of old country vinegar. When I think of a ghoul, I think of zombies. Or a ghoul. What a ghoul is. A physical thing that will kill
you. Well, I mean, is ghoul station like a play on words?
I don't know.
I don't think so. A gas station, maybe? Ghoul station? Well, you could still say ghost station.
Yeah, ghost station would have made more sense. Because it's a ghost. It's not a ghoul. Anyways, I thought the acting was good. I like the whole, like, they're in the gas station, you know, trying to get the demon out or whatever. But, I don't know, this movie was kind of boring to me. I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the ghoul effects were pretty cool, or the ghost effects, yeah. I think.
I'm just not really into ghosts that much. I think I have a ghost bias that might be playing into it. Yeah, to where I see, like, a lady dressed up in, like, a spoopy outfit with, like, her eyes all white, she's like, oh, I'm a spoopy ghost. I'm just like, I don't know, it's been done. If you're not going to do anything interesting with it, I'm just kind of like, all right. But, you know, the special effects were cool, and it was well-constructed. It was just, I'm just not into it.
Fair enough.
How'd you feel?
I mean, the same way.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just a haunting, and, like, hauntings have been done. They didn't really bring anything too new to the table.
Yeah.
Like, I could watch an episode of Supernatural and get the same... Mm-hmm. Stuff. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It felt like a showcase of what they could do. I just feel like they could do... Okay, I definitely agree that you guys can do that. Like, you've made this film. It's competently made. But now let's get some ideas in there. Let's crank up the creativity and make something cool. And they can do it. It's just, for me, this was a kind of ho-hum. And it makes me sad to say that. And you know what would have helped?
What?
A pizzard.
Yeah, pizzards would help anything.
Woo! Whoa! Okay, holy shit! Showdown at Ghoul Station. The Wooloo versus the Pizzard, dude. It's a 3.5 hour event. 8mm, and there's an intermission during. You learn about the entire backstory of both the Wooloo and the Pizzard. Dude, I'm fucking in. We're going to have a training montage and everything. Oh, man. We're going to make so much fucking money. Anyways.
Capitalizing on other people's ideas.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Magnolia and Clementine. Dan, please tell us about Magnolia and Clementine.
Magnolia and Clementine is directed by Ashley Shelton. Yes. It's about struggling writers. They are a couple, husband and wife, and the husband steals ideas and profits off of the wife.
What? That never happens.
It happens all the time.
Oh, what?
Now, I want to talk about the fact that at the very end, she comes to the conclusion that, oh, I must have sabotaged myself, and she's kind of feeling down on herself, right?
Yes, which I thought didn't make sense.
It didn't make sense to me. I think her husband should get kicked in the ass because I completely agree with the wife.
Yeah.
She had her idea stolen, and that was a really, really, really fucked up thing for her to do. So narratively speaking, I didn't like that aspect, how she kind of went down that path of, oh, it was my fault to begin with. No, honey, you are in the right. You should kick his ass out to the curb for a couple nights. But what I really want to talk about, Jared, we haven't had this since the olden times of the podcast.
Ah, yes.
But a fucking toilet scene.
A toilet scene.
You gotta love a good toilet scene.
A scene on a toilet. The Porcelain Throne. Wooloo versus Pizzard. Pay-per-view tonight on the Porcelain Throne. Be there. Yes, Dan, I'm glad you're very excited about a woman fake pissing while reading the story of her
She
husband.
Was pooping,
oh,
by the way.
Oh, forgive me. This movie has a lot, like, the main gist of it is... Both writers, husband steals work of the wife. She threw those ideas away, though. It was heavily implied that she had crumpled them up and threw them in the trash. She did not leave them in the bathroom. She threw them away. So she didn't even get this story published. And a lot of this is about her wanting to chase her dream to become a famous writer, and it's not working. So she starts to put all these negative thoughts on her husband of, like, I'm jealous of you. You're doing better than me. I'm happy for you, but also I hate you because I want to succeed. I want to meet my dreams. And like, she's upset because like, that was my idea, even though she had thrown it away and he had repurposed it and made it his own. So what he did was still stupid and messed up. He should have told his wife, hey, is this okay if I do this? You know, like that was still wrong. And it makes for an interesting premise, but I, for some reason with the execution and her passive aggressiveness towards mm-hmm. the husband drove me crazy and it was hard to watch. So if that was the effect, if it was supposed to be that way, then they did it.
Right.
Maybe it was just too real. I don't know what it was, but like, it was just like, I understand that whole aspect. Cause you know, you think of like comedians or fellow actors or whatever, mm-hmm. I've heard of this where like, if one person becomes more successful than you, even if it's like your friend, you get jealous. It's like a natural thing. You're like, God damn it. I want to get my big break or whatever it is.
Right.
So it's an interesting premise.
Yeah, it is. What I struggled with is I couldn't quite understand why she was seeing her characters.
I thought that was the most interesting aspect of the film, and I thought they really? Should have done that more. Oh, I thought okay. the character should have just been there to help her guide her through this issue of her realizing her dreams more.
Maybe that's why I didn't understand it, because it wasn't there enough.
It was surreal, and I wish it was there more, and I wish it was more part of the story to help her realize, oh, I can make new and interesting things, you know, like... I can forgive my husband for doing this. It would have been good if the husband learned something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't. He's just like, I'm just a dopey, carefree guy. I don't know. Boop-a-doop. And that whole scene at the end with her talking to her character that he made, which is her, like we said, it kind of just misses the mark. Because
mm-hmm.
it didn't feel like that was the conclusion I thought we were going to go with it. But I don't know. How did you feel about it?
Like I said, I don't really agree with the ending too much.
Uh-huh.
Because it just feels so unrealistic. Like that guy should have got his comeuppance.
The movie doesn't have to play the way we want it to.
Right.
But it didn't seem like where the movie logically ended made sense to what the film was initially trying to say.
Right.
It was weird. I just had a lot of weird moments where I'm like, huh? What? Okay. Other than that, it was well shot. It was well acted.
Mm-hmm.
It was fine. I'm just kind of bored, too, you know?
I just don't agree with the narrative. The narrative just didn't give me a good feeling at the end, I guess. But it, like you said, it was serviceable. Everything else worked. Next is F3 Kelly versus Sarah by F3. Rashawn Strife.
Yeah, getting a scroll from a hobo.
Now, it's very obvious that the sound to this movie was done in post, and I'm starting to think that it was done intentionally because it's supposed to be like a kung fu movie.
Yes. So this is a classic two people meet for a tournament to fight movie. It is very reminiscent of like what Dan said, the kung fu movies, kind of like Enter the Dragon. They were setting it up to where like, you're going to go to this island and fight people and fight the wushu master or whatever. So that's cool. I like that. The issue was the intentional dubbing of the voices just didn't work for me. Like, initially I thought, oh, this is bad. And then I was like, okay, I get what they're doing. But even then it just didn't feel right.
Hmm.
How did you feel about it? I got used to it, I guess.
I got used to it, but I wanted more kicky punchies and less of the talkie-talkies. Because whenever you watch a kung fu movie, you don't watch it for the talking. And you watch it for like the fights. And it took forever to get to the fight. But there is one interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we get the information dump about the tournament, the character who is giving the information dump is holding two gigantic swords for no reason.
Also, I think he's the same actor who plays the Wushu Master. It's the same guy.
Oh, well, that makes sense. But, like, it cuts to him, and he's just, like, with his arms crossed, like, he's a tough badass, but he has two gigantic cleavers.
It's silly.
Like, what the fuck is this?
Here's why I think the dubbing doesn't work, thinking about it now, is the audio, like, where they recorded the dub was not a good place. I don't know where they were recording
it. Exactly. That's exactly
how they needed a soundproof room, a more professional recording to pull off this type of thing that they were trying to do. Because it felt like the audio levels were all over the place. Sometimes somebody would be talking, it would seem okay. And other times it would be like, they're talking in a well. And I'm just like, what is going on? So I feel like if they cleaned that up, it would have helped the effect a lot more. Also, having them be more exaggerated. Because if you're just speaking in English and then you dub over it in English again, it just looks like your film is delayed. But if you had all your actors legitimately speak Japanese or Chinese and then don't use any of that audio and then dub over their English voices, that would have been amazing. You know what I mean? Even if it was just like approximation, you don't even have to do the real words. It's that flow that people are nostalgic for. That's what they want. Well, that's what I want. I don't want the audio just to be 3 seconds off. So that's my critique on that. I wish it was just more fighting.
Yeah.
And it feels like this is setting up for something more interesting. And it kind of sucks because I don't think you want your short film to do that. Of be like, hey, there's something like really cool that would have happened later, but you're not going to see any of that. You're just going to get this one fight and that's it. So maybe this is a part of a whole bigger thing that we could maybe explore. Disappointing in that regard. Because I'm like, I want to go to the island. Make the short about the island. I don't want to see any of this. I want to see Kiki Punch.
Want to see Mortal Kombat, bro.
Yeah, dude. Hey, they're going to remake Mortal Kombat, apparently.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Yeah, it's a movie that you can remake, for sure. Next film is Funky Town
by
Shan Williams.
Oh, fuck. Funky Town, man.
If there ever was a movie with a strange name, it would be this one.
Yeah. Tell us what this is about.
There's this woman who's in a very abusive relationship, and she leaves to live with her mother.
Uh-huh.
And then she has a daughter, and the daughter ends up getting touched by her brother.
Oh, man.
And it's,
that's some tough stuff to
It's to some tough stuff, but what is interesting about this, and it's my number one, because like, okay, the acting in this movie was great.
Yes,
the cinematography was great.
Yes.
Everything about this movie was great, except for not the stuff in the narrative, but the narrative itself.
Well, it's like, what's the conflict?
Well, maybe that's what it was, because the narrative to me just felt like it went in a straight line instead of an arc.
Mm, yes.
It felt rushed for some reason. Boom, we're at the end.
But just about every aspect of this film was great. I was super into it, except for the main overarching conflict, because there are too many of them.
Yeah.
So
that's exactly what I feel like. It's just like, let's go to one, put on the brakes. Let's go to the next one, put on the brakes. Let's go to the next one, put on the brakes.
You put too much movie in your movie, I feel like. So, okay. Yo, I heard you like movie, so I put movie in your movie, so you can movie while you movie. Hey, I'm hip, I'm cool. What a good show.
Hey, you got your movie in my movie.
What?
You got your movie in my movie.
Okay, the first conflict. The abusive boyfriend who is abusing the mom, and the daughter comes home and yells at the guy like, hey, stop that. And then she gets hit with a belt, and then they smash him over the head with a bottle, and then they leave to go to their parents' house. And I'm like, okay, so the movie's going to be about that. We're going to deal with the boyfriend and the issues of living in an abusive relationship and the back and forth that brings and all that turmoil. Nope. It's not about that at all. It's actually about the little girl getting molested by this uncle character, which was so far out of left field. And I was like, oh my God, please don't show it. And they don't, thankfully. So that's a whole movie in and of itself. Like, come on. Unless it's supposed to be like an odyssey of torture, where it, because I think the premise is supposed to be how this affects the little girl. All of these bad things are happening, and people don't ever consider how the kids are being affected by it. And I like that premise a lot. It just felt like this was just so intense. Yeah, I guess that was the premise. You think, right? It's got to be like something like that, right?
Just like the tumultuous childhood, maybe.
Yes. Like how a hard upbringing can really affect a young kid at that age. But where it really jumps the shark for me is, so I'm like, I'm fine with these two things, right? Okay, I got it. I'm in. I'm still in. But then we have the mother calls her brother and is like, hey, you need to come down here and take care of this cousin of ours who's been doing terrible things to my daughter. He's like, we got to figure this out right now. So he hires a fucking hitman. So now we're going to have murder in this movie. Is the little girl even there? So like, I don't even know if my premise even still stands. But the funniest thing about this, though, is that the hitman shows up and everyone knows who the hitman is, which I thought was so funny.
The other thing
that
about the hitman,
defeats the purpose of the hitman,
is he comes in guns ablazing, like guns pointed straight at this guy's head, right?
Yes.
There's a girl on the couch. And she reacts like no one would with a gun pointed at somebody in the room. She's just like, okay, yeah, okay. Instead of, what the fuck is going on?
No,
like,
she was crying and freaking out. I thought she was freaked out.
Okay.
Hey, agree to disagree on that one, friend. So overall, I thought it was great. It was just, it's intense. And like I said, the conflicts, I felt like it was, the movie could have been a little more focused is what I was saying.
Right.
I would definitely want to see more from everyone involved in this.
Yeah.
How about this? Make it more about the little girl.
Yeah, I think that would have worked.
We lost focus of the little girl being the main character. Maybe that's the solution. I'm just brainstorming here. I don't know. So,
I like it.
Do you have any final thoughts, or you want to go to the next film?
Monty and the Runaway Furnace by Joe Taranto.
Yes. Joe Taranto. Mr. Canada himself.
This film has obviously the biggest budget so far.
Yeah, it's got a big old budget. It's excellent. I like this film a lot. How'd you feel?
This is the film that we referenced in the beginning of the film, or yes, at the beginning of the podcast. It's very steampunky, and yeah, it was a feel-good movie.
Yes, this is like a family picture, which I liked. And I thought it was done well. I thought the silliness of the villain was fun. It kind of reminded me of like an old Hanna-Barbera cartoon of like how zany and doofy he was.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the old man and the whole idea of like he's got to dance for the furnace to keep it happy. But it's also maybe inhabited by his late wife that passed away. And it's like he's using it as therapy, this weird magic furnace, to kind of get over his wife passing and moving on with
his life. Yes, but the villain of this movie is also experiencing weird hauntings, and this is what made me think of Warehouse again.
Warehouse! Half man, half house. Warehouse. Wait, what? I don't think he would even be a man. I guess he could. He'd have like a weird like Cronenberg arm coming out of the wall or something. The villain thinks that the furnace is actually his late father because his father passes away. Apparently he hates his dad, or I don't know what it is, or seeks approval from him. And now he's taking over his family business of making inventions. I don't know, closing deals. It's all steampunk weirdness. And he's living in this new mansion, but the mansion, the furnace is just acting up and steam and smoke, and it's making lots of sounds, and it's driving him crazy. And he starts to like see his father in smoke and crazy stuff. So he wants to destroy the furnace and get rid of it because it's making him go mad, basically. And then we have the secretary character who is sent to go try to figure out the whole furnace scenario. And it's kind of funny because he keeps forcing her to dance. And Dan, I thought of the same joke of like having the old man be like, well, the furnace will really work if you... if you take off all your clothes. You're like, I don't know if that's something I should do. Be like, how about a quick peek at your 401k? What's your mother's maiden name? And it's like, I don't know if that helps the furnace run there, Gary. I keep using Gary as a name. Everyone of a character I don't know is named Gary, by the way. But overall, I liked it. It was whimsical. It was fun. It was sad.
And the cityscape that, like, just, it's only like, you only see it maybe, I want to say 30 seconds of screen time.
Uh-huh.
It's just beautiful looking.
I actually kind of got a little teary-eyed when he said goodbye to his wife, too, in the furnace.
Yeah.
It actually got me. I was like, damn it, movie, stop it. Oh, I had to think of, like, Greco-Roman wrestling and, like, manly stuff, you know, just to get out of it.
Greco-Roman wrestling. I don't know.
I don't know what manly people do. Yeah. I'm going to go to Chuck E. Cheese. It's manly. So, yeah, Those are all the films.
If you like what we do, you can find us more at Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can find us at Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. We are on Gmail, theindiefilmreview@gmail.com.
Yes.
Facebook, Indie Film Review. Find us.
Find us.
Above all places.
You dare.
On the Necropodicon Network.
Yeah, baby. We opened up the good book. And we got demons all up in this bitch. The Necropodicon Network is awesome. We're super excited to be working with them. I love the community. And they do a lot of other good podcasts that you should go check out at their website, necropodicon.com. And they do a lot of Dungeons & Dragons. They do comedy podcasts. And they do movie podcasts. And there's all others. It's great. It's growing. It's building. and we're changing lives. We're defeating the Wooloo. We are releasing the Pizzard into a man who may or may not kill his son, but that's okay. You can't win them all. So I love you guys. Thank you for listening. And Danny, you have the final word.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Wooloo versus Pizzard.
Be there or not, it's okay with me.
Well, all right. Do I have to take my clothes off?
If you want it to shut up, you got to dance with me. All right. And no.
You can cut this out.
You're stepping on my jokes.